Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tesham tad vikramam vira.
Tesham tad vikramam vira.
Gada sankarsanadaya. Amrishamana naracha.
Amrishamana naracha.
Zagnuhaya gazanvatan. Tesham, by them, them, the opposing kings, tat, that, vikramam, show of prowess, vira, the heroes, gada, gada, the younger brother of Lord Krishna. Sankarsan, Lord Balaram, Adaya, and others, Amrishyamana, not tolerating, Narachai, with arrows made of iron, Jagnu, they struck, Hai, horses, Gajan, elephants, Ratan, and chariots. Here's the translation. The heroes, what's going on at this point in the pastime? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Krishna's kidnapped Rukmini, then what happened? And then what did they begin to do? Here in this verse it describes the heroes of the Lord's army, because there was a kidnapping going on of the bride at the time of her wedding. And of course we know what had happened before that. She had written to Krishna saying, please take me away from this Sisupal. He is, what animal did she compare him to? A jackal, a dog, a low dog, not even one suitable to live in the house. A real animal. So please come and take me. You are not a singer. You are like a lion. Amongst men, it is you who is like a lion. You are the king, so powerful. So please do not allow this jackal, Shishupal, to snatch away the share of the sacrifice, or that which is meant for the lion. Do not allow this to happen. And if somehow or another you don't accept me, what can I do? I will perform austerities, and I will leave this world, and possibly by my good fortune, it may take hundreds of lives, but I will never accept anyone else. So when Krishna heard that message, immediately, quickly, he immediately decided to kidnap Rukmini, to fulfill her desire, to complete her loving sentiment, because she was so filled with devotion. She was so filled with devotion, Krishna himself could not resist that devotion. So there are, even though Rukmini is the greatest lover of Krishna, the foremost of Krishna's wives, still it is important that we learn from her words, from her mood of devotion. Because she was so focused on Krishna, regardless of what would happen, she would not remove her focus from Krishna, the focus of her consciousness to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. And again, Krishna therefore reciprocated. So what stops us from doing that? On one side, Rukmini had so much love for Krishna, so much love for Krishna, and our devotion to Krishna maybe is a little short of the mark. It is a little less than it should and could be. And on the other side, Rukmini showed herself completely unattached to everything but Krishna. She was attached to Krishna with great love and devotion, and she was detached from anything other than Krishna, so much so that she was ready to even give up her body if it meant that in the future she would attain the service of Krishna. So on one side she was attached to Krishna, and on the other side she was completely detached from everything but Krishna. This is the nature of love for Krishna. It is very special. It is so wonderful. And it is very rarely seen in this world. In the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu Nectar devotion, the quality of Bhava Bhakti, or one of the two qualities of Bhava Bhakti, is Sudolabha. What does Sudolabha mean? Very rare, not only rare, but very rare. Anyone know the other quality of Bhava Bhakti? That's a very good answer, but it wasn't the correct answer. What is it? Quality of Bhava Bhakti. Yes, do you know the Sanskrit? Moksha Laguda Krit. It minimizes the value of liberation, just like if we are proud of our $1,000 and then we see someone who has $1,000,000, our $1,000 immediately becomes diminished in value in our mind. So similarly, compared to material happiness, liberation is wonderful, but compared to love for Krishna or Bhava Bhakti, preliminary stages of love for Krishna, liberation is completely insignificant. So, Rukmini is so exemplary in her love for Krishna, but yet, in one sense, the highest principle is not exactly all the instructions we get from the pastime, but rather the highest principle is the pastime itself. This is the most wonderful thing, that Krishna is interacting with his devotees in this incredible way, stimulating their ecstatic love. If Rukmini Devi, just think of how her love will be stimulated. She is waiting there. What is her mood? What is her mood when she's just before her marriage, when she's walking from the temple of what was the demigoddess? Durga? What was it? It was Girja. Girija. So what would her mood have been? She was fearful that Krishna might not come, but she had heard that he was coming already. So she was expecting him to arrive at any moment. When you're expecting that the one that you love with your full heart is going to arrive at any moment, that causes a particular type of mood, a happiness, a longing. And if you're fearful that he may not come, there is another mood that may be coming. But these, on the spiritual platform, all these different moods bring ecstatic emotions in the devotee. This is all described in the Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. Different varieties of ecstasy are churned by the pastimes of Krishna. So this is what Krishna is doing through his pastimes. He's churning the ocean of rasa. The bhakti rasamrita sindhu, he's churning it, and out of that comes rasa, or the sweetest transcendental tastes that his devotees experience. So when Krishna comes and kidnaps her and puts her on his chariot and rides away and fights off the kings, what is she going to be experiencing in her consciousness? What is she going to think about Krishna? Such a hero. My Krishna is such a hero. He's so powerful, and naturally the love and devotion simply increases. And that is Krishna's motivation behind performing these pastimes. He simply wants to increase the loving ecstasies of his devotees. This is Krishna. So, Krishna's armies, headed by whom? Sankarsan, Balaram, had come to protect Krishna, because Krishna was there all alone. And Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, as Dauji. He has two moods, one of friendship and one of Vatsalya Prem, protection of Krishna. So he brought all the armies there because Krishna was going to kidnap Rukmini Devi alone, and there would certainly be opposition, so all the armies were there. So the heroes of the Lord's army, headed by Gada and Sankarsan, could not tolerate the aggression of the opposing kings. Thus, with iron arrows, they began to strike down the enemy's horses, elephants, and chariots. The heads, now this is real Kshatriya warrior stuff that we're going to read now. When an ordinary person hears about the gore, not Nittai gore, but the blood on the battlefield, and the type of the bodies being chopped up, if we actually would witness it, terror would enter our heart. Not very pleasant. But when someone with an intense Kshatriya mood experiences or views these type of things, their desire to fight increases. Just like if there's a great sports game, it brings out those who are sportsmen, it brings out their mood to participate in such things. Well, and so this is the Kshatriya spirit. They are not afraid of fighting. They are not afraid of blood. They are not afraid of even dying. The Brahmins have theoretical knowledge that they are not their bodies, but the Kshatriyas have the practical knowledge that they're ready to go out and fight fearlessly, because they know if they win, they have gained victory, and if they lose, they have gained, and they die, they gain the heavenly planets. So how do they gain the heavenly planets? Not with their bodies, but on the level of the soul, they will attain due to the piety of fighting in a religious battle. Due to that piety, due to the transcendental knowledge that they are fixed in, they're fearlessly fighting. Due to that transcendental knowledge, all their sinful reactions are burned to ashes, and they attained the higher planet. What will happen? Because you cannot be a lukewarm warrior. You cannot be, yes, you know, if you're out there in a battle and people are trying to kill you, you're not, yes, maybe I should fight, or maybe I should use my sword, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should play some virtual computer game about war instead. That would be a lot safer. No, maybe I should do this, or maybe. You can't fight partially. You have to, emotion has to come, and your anger has to come, and the desire to win, to kill, to save your life, this has to take birth in the heart, otherwise immediately you'll be cut down. So when the enemies attacked those who were attacking Krishna, they were the enemies of the Yadu dynasty. Why? They could have been friends on one level, but why were they? Why? What happened? They dared to attack Krishna. Krishna wanted to kidnap Rukmini, and instead of taking Krishna's side, oh, this is the most wonderful thing that can happen, that Krishna desires to take a wife. This is his first wife. What a wonderful pastime is going to evolve from this. Instead of thinking like this, rather they tried to oppose Krishna. And immediately Balaram and all the other army men and great generals, you are trying to stop Krishna from doing what he wants to do? You cannot do that in our presence. We will kill you immediately. And then they just could not tolerate it. And rather than becoming fearful, this is the Kshatriya nature, they're courageous in battle. They're expert in battle, but courageous also. What's the opposite of being courageous?
Cowardly.
So if someone is cowardly when there's a battle, instead of displaying his courage, he displays his back. He runs because he's afraid. But these great Kshatriyas, headed by Balaram, when the aggression of the armies began to the weapons of the enemies who had dared to attack Krishna were confronting them, they became more angry and more determined to end their lives, the lives of their enemies, those who dared to attack Krishna. So they began to strike down the enemy's horses, elephants, and chariots. That's the enemy's means of battle. Are there any Kshatriyas in this group that long to go to battle? Fight and kill. Don't mind if they are killed. Mahatmaji, Kshatriya hai? Yes. Very good. Not only one Kshatriya, seven. Seven Kshatriya. Not only were the enemy's horses, elephants, and chariots struck down, listen to what was happening in the next verse. The heads of soldiers fighting on chariots, horses, and elephants. Now, I'm not talking about the horses and elephants and chariots because they were being struck down, but their heads fell to the ground by the millions. Some heads wore earrings and helmets, others turbans. So what happens when one's head is cut off and it falls to the ground? Yes. What happens? What substance comes from these connections? So much blood comes out, pours out. So the whole scene was an incredible, appreciated only by Kshatriyas. Lying all around with thighs, legs, fingerless hands, along with hands clutching swords because they're fighting, clubs and bows, and also the heads of horses, donkeys, elephants, camels, wild asses, and humans. There's a short purport here. In the verse there's a word, karabha. Karabha indicates the portion of the hand from the wrist to the base of the fingers. That's here. The palm, the back, something like that. The same word may also indicate an elephant's trunk. And thus, in this verse, the implication is that the thighs lying on the battlefield resembled the trunk of elephants. So very, very, very heavy scene. But yet, so is it good or bad that people are killed and they get their heads cut off? It depends. It depends on what Krishna's desire is in this. And we think that it is terrible that this killing takes place, or killing takes place. But if one thinks about it, this whole material world means killing and death. Maybe not in this particular way where people get their heads cut off. Rather, we just decay. And no one survives the material world. There are no survivors here. It is the greatest of battlefields. And everyone loses who has a material body. So someone may think they are strong. Someone may think they are very strong. Someone may actually be very, very strong. But everyone is cut down by lokachaya krit, kalosman, lokachaya krit. Come down, cut down by the sickle of Krishna's unlimitedly powerful time factor. So if we think this is gruesome and terrible and horrible, but we think that the material world is wonderful and a place where we can enjoy, oh, how much illusion we are in. How much illusion we are in. And how quickly, raise your hand if you've ever been to a funeral. Raise your hand if you've never been to a funeral. If you go to a funeral, the mood is very somber and grave. And everyone naturally starts thinking, what is the purpose of my life? You know, I'm just working like a donkey and just, you know, I'm just getting this and I'm not really happy. And, you know, what is the purpose of anything in this world? Who cares about anything of this world? This is clearly the end. What happens to everyone? What is worth achieving in this world? That is called samasa vairagya, the renunciation of one at the crematorium. But then, amazingly as it is, within 5-10 minutes, as soon as you leave, I've seen this, that immediately everyone regains their mood. Their usual jovial, joking, silly, frivolous mood about trying to enjoy the material world. I remember the first funeral I ever went to. It was actually in Melbourne in the 70s. And I had a job at that time. And I was working in something or another. And because my daughter had just been born, so I had a job. So everyone where I was working knew I was a devotee. They thought I was a devotee. Actually, they didn't know I was a devotee because I'm not a devotee. But they thought I was a devotee. Or they thought I was a Hare or something. A Hare Krishna, more accurately. So there was one man who was much older than me. Maybe, you know, somewhere in his 60s, say. And I was in my 20s at that time. Late 20s. And he used to always make fun of me. And joke and bad, you know, tease me. And he was nasty. Not very, very nasty, but he wasn't nice at all. Not at all, the slightest bit respectful. And then one day, or actually one night, I was working on night shift, and he came in, this fellow, and he was drunk. He had been drinking alcohol. And he came in, And he had a heart attack. And I immediately ran. I was holding him. And he was just crying. Oh, in so much pain. I had never seen anything like this before. He was just crying, saying this. He was just even saying, oh, such pain, his heart attacked him. It's a funny way to look at it, isn't it? Your heart attacks you. Your own heart attacks you. And then after that, of course we called the ambulance or whatever. He went to the hospital. And then after that time, he was always sending me messages from people. Please pray for me, please pray for me, please pray for me. Because his time to exit the body was coming. And he was afraid, deeply afraid. And then after several weeks, khatam ho gaya, finished. He died. He left his body. And then there was the funeral. So I was working there. So I naturally went to the funeral. And everyone from work was at the funeral. And there were some very religious people. And I especially wanted to go because I had never seen a dead body before at that time. Because in the West, dead bodies are carefully placed far away from anyone to see. So we went to the ceremony and the casket was there, and I was in the car with some religious people, and everyone was very, very grave. Very, very grave when we got there. And then the ceremony went on, religious ceremony went on, and everyone was very grave and sober and somber. And then when we left, I got in the car with them again, these religious people. And I wanted to talk and reflect upon what we had seen. But immediately they just turned on the radio and they started joking and talking and regained their everyday frivolity. So that is samasa vairagya, the renunciation that comes when you visit the crematorium or the graveyard. It lasts just a moment, and immediately maya, illusion, takes over, and again we attempt to enjoy the material world. This is the action of maya. This is the action of illusion. It turns our intelligence. It vaporizes our intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to see beyond, to see around a corner. It looks like memory is a function of intelligence. We can see what's outside the door, not with our eyes, but with our intelligence. We know there are pillars, there's a bulletin board, and there are pictures on the bulletin board outside the door. I can't see it with my eyes, but through my intelligence I can see it. Or I can infer, anuman in Sanskrit, using inference. I can infer so many things, but due to the powerful action of maya, I forget to infer. Maya forces me to forget to infer, to understand that my time is dwindling in this world, and how should I best use my time? And see how I'm attached to so many things other than Krishna. So many things. And my attachment to Krishna is very thin and weak. And my attachment to anything else, everything else, is so strong and thick and powerful. And my happiness, despite my attempts, my happiness is always eluding me. It's always only if, it's on the only if level. Only if I had this and only if I had that, and then when I get that, still the happiness doesn't come. So seriousness And spiritual life is actually intelligence. To be serious or to be intelligent means to be serious in spiritual life. Not that we don't deal with the practical realities of our mind and consciousness just by me saying that I'm never going to be attached to anything anymore in the material world because one day I'm going to die. Just by saying that, there is no effect, practically speaking, on the consciousness. Because the attachments remain. The only thing that can, in fact, rid the consciousness of material attachments is the powerful blazing effect of attachment to Krishna. The positive will burn to ashes, the negative. And if we try to remove the negative, the attachments, without increasing the positive, it is impossible, practically speaking. It will always, the attachments in the material world, they will sneak back in subtle and gross ways. They will sneak back into our consciousness. So to make use of our life properly, either quickly or gradually, we should develop. We really should. It is in our interest to develop true taste for the holy names, for the service of Radha Pallava, Gornatai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, service to the devotees, the holy land of see Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, and the third one is Sri Vrindavan Dham, the places where the Lord had his pastimes. They are filled with such sweetness, actually. But instead of that, we have taste for shopping and whatever, and frivolous things like, anyway, we all know there's so many silly things that we have a taste for. So when we see that I should be like this, it would be intelligent, it would be proper to be like this, but yet I'm like this. What should we do? Should we become discouraged and the confrontation is too great? I should be like this and I'm like this. So there's a tendency to, let me change it to this side. We should be like this, but we're like this. And there's a tendency to lower our expectations to such a degree that we don't feel any internal discord. We don't feel the problem that comes from the disparity. That tendency is there. But rather than lowering our goal and changing it to something that's silly and temporary, that it will be crushed to fine powder by the force of time, we should gradually, slowly, first thing is we should do is become a little humble and accept, I'm not really much of a devotee. We should become humble and then hear about Krishna. Shushusho sadadanasya vasudeva gataruchi syan mahatsevaya vipropona tirtana sevana. And we should try to get that taste in hearing about Krishna and Krishna consciousness by serving the mahat, serving the devotees. Which devotees? Just the big, big, big devotees? No, all the devotees. All the devotees. It's not good to be like judging all the time. Well, this devotee is this big and this one's, and my standard, who I'm going to serve, is right over there. And he's below the standard and this one, what to speak of this one, and this one's like this, and I know everything about this one, and this one's like this. And this one over here, who I never see at all. Oh, so wonderful. And everyone else. Now we should serve all the devotees. It is our duty to serve and encourage all the devotees, because spiritual life is so difficult in the age of Kali, difficult in the sense that the entirety of material society is trying to pull us in the opposite direction. In the Vedic times, what we read about is that the whole culture was moving people forward spiritually, but in these times, in Kali Yuga, at this point, and it's only going to get worse, the whole culture just wants to move us towards sensuality and economic development. It's so difficult to go against that. It's like the river is pushing. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Gomukh. No, only me. Gomukh, what is Gomukh? It's the source of the Ganga, high in the Himalayan mountains, above Gangotri, very high. When I visited there, it was on the appearance day of Ganga Devi, actually, and there were a few souls there, maybe 20 on that day. And there were some students who had come from IIT Delhi or something like that. And they went even higher than Gomukh. And Gomukh is pretty high in the Himalaya Mountains. And one of them, just this young boy, he went up too high too fast and he got altitude sickness. Finished. Fortunate or unfortunate?
Fortunate.
Probably his mother didn't think so. But holy place. As if he wasn't going to one day leave this world anyway. So and the water is so cold. Oh, it's so cold that you don't even know it. You can't even tell whether it's cold or hot. And there's huge, like big, huge chunks of ice in the water, and it's so cold. And if you can, you just go in. And that was wonderful. If you stayed in a few minutes, you'd be finished too. But how quickly the Ganga flows at that time. So there's that verse, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusha Pra Akama Sava Kama Va Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusha Pra. What does that verse mean? What canto of the Bhagavatam is that in?
Second
canto, yes. Thank you. It means, I think it's in the third chapter of the second canto. It means that whether you akam, what does akam mean?
No
desires. Akama sarvakama. What does sarvakama mean? What does sarvakama mean? Full of desires. Whether you have no desires, full of desires, akama savakama va moksha kama. What does moksha kama mean? Kama. I desire salvation. So either of these three, full of material desires, desiring to get out of the material world, or no desires on any level, or devotional desires, also akama means. So akama savakama va moksha kama udara di tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta Purusha Pura, that if one will worship, Yajeta means worship, Purusha Pura, the Supreme Person, Krishna, Tivrena, what does Tivra mean? With great power, with great force, with focus, and the example is of the water of the Ganga, especially at a place like Gomukh. It's coming down so powerfully. If there is a boulder in the way, a big, huge rock, it will push it out of the way. That is Tivrena. That's why we were talking about Gomukh. That is Tivrena. If we focus our consciousness with devotion and somehow try to please Krishna, whether we have full of desires, have no desires or even desire liberation, the power of that service and the mercy that comes due to that service will push away all obstacles. But it cannot be weak. It has to be tivrena to have that result. And of course, to build up the power to be focused bhakti like that, it may take lifetimes, but let us move in that direction. Unless we want to move in another direction. If we want to move in another direction, okay, we should do that, or read some books about moving in the other direction and see what happens to people who move in that direction. But whatever our situation is, the Bhagavad Gita says, we should worship Krishna. We should worship Him. Why? Because He is most beautiful. It's so easy to worship Him. We don't have to renounce anything, practically speaking, in a practical way. We can use our senses in Krishna's service. We don't have to become renunciates and go deep into the forest of Tasmania and just live eating pine cones or whatever, cones or something. No, we can be here, we can see the beauty of the deities, we can take prasadam, we can smell the fragrance of the incense, we can use our hands in Krishna's service, we can use our intelligence in Krishna's service. That type of renunciation is much easier than trying to remove ourselves from the material world by not engaging our senses in the material world. But we want to develop a taste, and if we develop a taste for this side, then everything becomes easier. And then all we have to do, I'll make it sound simple, is stay in that atmosphere. Stay in the atmosphere of the sweetness of Radha Balabha. That's all we have to do. And how to stay in that atmosphere always? Can we all just move into the temple room and never ever leave? That's one possibility. But most of us would probably just imagine if everyone was just living in the temple room. What just imagine what would happen. I used to be that in the very early days of the movement, practically speaking, but then it becomes like those machines for polishing semi-precious stones. When you ever see those tumblers? Did you ever see one of those? It's called a tumbler. You put in these semi-precious stones, the coral and this and that, and they just look like rocks, and you put them in and you put some water in, and it just tumbles, and the rocks just bang against each other and continuously bang against each other until they become smooth and polished. That's what would happen. We would just bang against each other. So we can't do that, to just stare here in front of the wonderful forms of Sri Sri Radha Balava. If we could just chant Hare Krishna, it would be the most wonderful thing. But we're not able to do that. We'd find excuses to leave the temple room very fast. But still we can take the holy names of Krishna with us and know that is ideal. Even though we may not be able to always, to constantly chant Krishna's names, we should know that that is ideal. Like that we heard on Sunday night about the poverty-stricken Brahmin whose name was Suklambar. He was a brahmachari and he was poverty-stricken and he would beg from everyone. But all day long, all night long, he would just chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna's names. And he was ecstatic continuously, dancing. If we can just fill our minds always with Krishna's holy names, oh, how happy we'll be. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, just once just once taste the sweetness of filling the consciousness with the holy names. Why does he say just once? Ekpa nam, something, rasat, ekpa nam, matire, something. Just once taste this. Why does he say once? Why?
Because we still haven't tasted it, and once we taste it, we become addicted to it.
Yes, and we will never forget it. Even if we do forget it for some time, but when it's not really forgotten, it's just covered over lightly. As soon as we come in contact with it again, it will spring to the surface again. It's ours forever. It is ours forever. If we just taste one time the sweetness of the spiritual platform, even on a small level, it is ours forever. And the material world seems pale, will seem pale. Sometimes we get trapped by the material world and material thoughts to enjoy the material world. But they are actually pale, and they lead to miseries, those type of things. Well, spiritual pleasure leads in the opposite direction. So we should be on this journey, is the purpose of our life, the spiritual journey. What else is worthy? Yes, we have to act practically according to our capacity. But we should understand that reality, the spiritual realm is really what will give us what we're looking for. The spiritual realm means Goloka Vrindavan. It means the place where everyone's consciousness is simply focused on pleasing Krishna, and their consciousness are aflame with love, and they don't talk about anything other than Krishna. They don't think about anything other than Krishna. Their minds are full of Krishna. Their thoughts continuously, their words, their ears, everything is only Krishna, 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 Krishna. Not by force. There is not the slightest tinge of, you know, you should be doing this. After all, you're in Goloka Vrindavan. You know, you should come up and make sure you're up to the standard and always think about Krishna. Not the slightest, not even the slightest bit of that is required, because the love for Krishna is so intense. It's completely spontaneous and natural and all-consuming for the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna is the center, the all-attractive person. So that is the goal. We may not be able to get there immediately, but we should not lose our focus of what the actual goal is. And we should try our best to move forward, to make the spark of Krishna consciousness that we have, we want to make that spark do what? Huh? What do we want the spark to do? Blaze, blaze. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? What we read up to 8, I think. So tomorrow, lying all around with thighs, legs, and fingerless hands, along with hands clutching swords, clubs, and bows, and also the heads of horses, donkeys, elephants, camels, wild asses, and humans. Pretty heavy. Any questions or comments? Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that. I can't figure it out. It says Gada, the younger brother of Lord Krishna. I checked the commentaries that I have. and it says Gada, the younger brother of Lord Krishna. But who is the younger brother of Lord Krishna? Gada. But other than that, I don't know. Because you'd think that Gadagaraj means the holder of the club. Gada means, yes, do you know the answer to this mysterious question? After? The first of Devaki. The before Krishna. Then they wouldn't be the younger brother. Right? They'd be the older brother.
I thought something about that, I have to look it up again, but it was just raising the explanation of the Prabhupada and the tenth canto of the path.
Okay. So in other words, you think that you might have a clue to find the answer. Why don't you go quickly look it up and let us know?
Okay.
Kandina.
Kandina.
Yes, which is somewhere in Gujarat. Where? Oh yeah, Vidarbha. Where is Vidarbha? Rukmini's place is
Vidarbha.
Yes, so that's where it is. So it couldn't be, they couldn't have gone all the way to South India. Yeah, it's in that part. You'd like to go there and see?
Even though it took place there, it was a spiritual place, meaning that it didn't happen there physically.
No, it did happen there physically, but yet it's a spiritual place. But not physically in the sense of materially. So although Krishna took Rukmini to Dwarka, and Dwarka is the spiritual world, but yet there's Dwarka here too. So this to understand the dhams not so easy. But the great souls who have pure spiritual consciousness can see the full spiritual world when they go to these places. Yes. 47.
Yes, the son of the bee.
The son of?
Son of the bee.
Yes.
Where Bhagavan was sent to Udava, is the other brother of Gada. Now the son of the
bee. Wait. Who? Yes.
118. Yes.
Text 40?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Gadagaraj. Gentle Uddhava, it is the elder brother of Gada. Is the elder brother of Gada now bestowing on us the city women, bestowing on the city women the pleasure that actually belongs to us? So who is the elder brother of Gada? The name Gadagaraj indicates Krishna, the elder brother Agraja of Gada, the first son of Devaki Sita. Okay. She was a sister of Devaki's. Okay. Who was also married to Vasudev. So cousin brother, or half brother, we would say. Okay. Thank you. You solved it. Thank you for asking the question, even though I didn't want it because I couldn't figure it out. Thank you for. Yeah, he asked, but she found. Thank you. Huh? No. Everyone points to everyone else. This is devotee culture. Very good. So it's the not direct younger brother, but of Vasudev's son by Devaki Sita, one of the sisters of Devaki and a wife of. Very good. Now, if anyone wants to ask that question again, I'll be able to answer it. Any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Balabha ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurnitai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.